looking down, closing his eyes, and breathing slowly and deeply to relax himself.
I really am getting to hate these fleet conferences.
Most of the officers present seemed to at least outwardly share Desjani's elation at the recent victory. The glaring exception was a block of ship commanders seated on either side of Captain Numos and Captain Farisa, who were stone-faced at best and actively glowering at worst. Geary looked from one of them to the next, reading their ship's names, and realizing all had been assigned to Formation Fox 5-2 during the battle. Some of the officers met his gaze when he looked at them, but most managed to avoid his eyes. Geary leaned back, taking a moment to sweep his gaze across the rest of the officers seated at the table, and Captain Desjani, the only other person physically present in the room.
We'll be leaving the Caliban system soon. Our work here is done, and we've given the Syndics a bloody nose. I want to personally congratulate every ship in the fleet for the parts they played in winning the recent battle.
His words were met by a lot of smiles, and an increase in the antipathy from Numos's group.
My intent is to leave Caliban tomorrow. We'll head for the jump point that provides access to a system named Sutra. Sutra probably hasn't been abandoned, as there's a good habitable world there, but it's unlikely to have much in the way of defenses.
Why are we not going to Cadiz?
Because, Captain Numos, Cadiz is too obvious an objective. It's on a straight line back to Alliance territory, and it's on the Syndic Hypernet.
We can access the Syndic Hypernet from there and get home very quickly. Why don't you want to do that?
I want to get home as quickly as you.
Do you?
Yes. I'll remind you, Captain Theresa, that any Syndic system on the Hypernet can be very easily and quickly reinforced by the Syndics. If I were the Syndic commander and I knew we were at Caliban, I would have every substantial force sent to Cadiz in order to guard against our arrival there and to prevent our use of the Hypernet gate at Cadiz.
Since the Syndics have a gate at Cadiz, they don't need the jump points, do they? They could mine the hell out of the jump exits.
True. I, for one, am not afraid to confront a strong Syndic force.
Numos's words and tone clearly implied that the recent victory at Caliban didn't count for much, since the Syndic force had been badly outnumbered.
Yet you didn't do a very impressive job of confronting the Syndic force in the recent battle.
It's not the fault of Captain Numos that the ships under his command were deliberately mispositioned so as to deny them a proper role in the battle.
The fleet commander gave proper orders to all formations. I could hear them as well as you.
Need I remind you, Captain Tulev, you are far away from my formation and far away from the Syndics as well at the time.
The ships under my command engaged more enemy units than yours did.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to question anyone's courage.
Had I been given proper opportunity to engage the enemy, I would have left no grounds for anyone to imply I lacked courage.
Your orders, Captain Numos, if properly followed, would have given you ample opportunity.
You are many light seconds from the scene of my engagement, yet you insisted on maintaining absolute control of my ship's movements.
I had no trouble doing that with every other formation engaged in the battle, Captain. They followed the orders they were given.
Are you saying that the duty of the captain of a ship of the Alliance fleet is to do nothing except follow orders exactly? That we have no discretion to employ our ships as our many years of combat experience dictates?
You are well aware that your instructions for this battle included the authority to alter movements as necessary, if you believe the tactical situation so required. You had that discretion, Captain Numos. Don't attempt to blame me or anyone else for the results of your own actions.
Are you accusing me of incompetence? Are you trying to imply that I bear the responsibility for the losses we suffered?
Captain Numos, the responsibility for all losses in this battle lie with me. I was in command, and I do not shirk from accepting the responsibilities that come with that.
And I...
As for you, sir, you are perilously close to being relieved of your command and all authority if you continue to behave in an insubordinate and unprofessional manner. Do I make myself clear?
Numos' jaw worked, but he stayed silent. On one side of him, Captain Farisa was giving Geary a look so fierce that it seemed capable of driving a hole through heavy armor. Geary looked around the table again. He expected those gathered around Numos would still side with him, but he was surprised to note that many other officers seemed discomforted by Geary's threat. Then he saw in their faces, in the way they carried themselves, something else. Something that shocked him.
They're not entirely happy with the victory, are they? They're not happy that we won by fighting in a different way. They wanted to win, but not at the cost of changing the way they're used to fighting. With all its emphasis on individual courage and free-willing combat. Now they don't want me cracking down on one of their own and insisting he act with more discipline.
There were exceptions, like Captain Desjani, who still glowed with unalloyed pride at the victory they'd won. It finally hit Geary that the worshippers of Blackjack Geary fell into two camps. The smaller camp, officers like Desjani, were willing to do whatever Geary said because they believed he could do no wrong. The larger camp, though, wanted Geary to lead them to victory without changing anything. They just wanted a legendary hero to lead them in the same glorious charges against the enemy that they'd always employed. And they were having a lot of trouble with the fact that their hero was demanding they fight a type of battle where individual ships truly worked as parts of a greater whole.
They want a hero who will reaffirm everything they've done before and somehow make it work better. But now they're realizing I'm not that kind of hero. I want everyone to know that I've never seen a more courageous group of officers. All of you are individually brave and aggressive, to a fault. Being too willing to die is as bad as being too afraid of dying. How do I convince them of that? I hope the recent battle has demonstrated how using good tactics... No. Damn. They'll think I'm saying they've been using bad tactics. Wish they have been, but I don't want to say that. Effective tactics can enable us to inflict far more serious losses than we receive. We're a fleet, a combat organization that gives us immense strength if we use it. I never want any of my captains to feel they can only follow orders exactly. Initiative is very important. Reacting to changing circumstances is very important. Commander Hatherian, may his ancestors honor him, did exactly what I think he should have done when he brought Arrogant out of her assigned station in order to protect other ships in peril.
He couldn't tell how they were reacting to his words. He was starting to wonder if he'd ever be able to really understand these Alliance sailors, whose thoughts and habits differed from his own by a century's worth of time and all the changes that had wrought.
We will go to Sutra. We'll evaluate conditions there, whatever we can learn about Syndic movements in deciding our next objective. That's all. Congratulations again on how well you all fought yesterday.
Geary sat this time, watching the images vanish rapidly. Captain Desjani, seeming slightly puzzled by Geary's depressed attitude, bade him farewell and hurried off to deal with ship's business. He became aware that one officer's image remained in the room once everyone else had disappeared.
Captain Duelos.
You've figured it out, haven't you?
I think so. Pardon me for being blunt, but how can they be so damn stupid?
Habit. Tradition. I told you before how important pride is to this fleet. Pride and honor. The last things you can hold on to when everything else is failing. Well, they're proud of how they fought.
Couldn't they see there's a better way to fight?
That will take time, if enough time is granted to us. I decided after we arrived in the Syndic home system and were badly hurt that we'd probably never see home again. So I've accepted we may not make it.
We'll make it.
I dare not believe that completely. But if we should make Alliance space once more, I'll buy you every drink you can handle. You must realize the officers you command are not used to firm hands. It's fortunate you're not a strict disciplinarian. I've read of such. A commander like that would have already lost command of the fleet. These officers truly need to be led, but they will not accept the whip.
I'm not a whip-employing kind of officer. But I need to show them the old ways work.
Yes, but it'll take time, as I said. Time to forget one set of habits and acquire a new set. Time to gather victories that reinforce the new habits. Do not despair, I beg you. We all need you, even those who don't think that they need you. Perhaps I should say especially those who don't think that they need you.
I can't afford to give up.
No, you can't.
Geary pushed himself up from his seat, glaring at the now empty compartment.
I need to hold fewer meetings. Nah, As much as I hate them, I have to keep holding meetings. It's my only chance to see all of these officers, even though I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
He walked back to his stateroom, so lost in thought that he was surprised to find himself at the hatch.
Huh, already.
Rubbing his eyes, he considered a med patch, but decided against it. The meds were guaranteed not to cause physical addiction, but the last thing he needed was psychological addiction to the temporary comfort they brought.
This day's already going to hell, so I might as well catch up on paperwork.
Geary called up his message queue and cycled through incoming material as fast as possible, until he came to one that made him pause.
Intelligence exploitation report regarding Syndicate World's facilities in the Caliban system. I didn't think the cities had left anything worth exploiting.
He began reading, then started skimming as it became apparent the Syndics had indeed left little of interest behind. And what there was of interest was decades old, and therefore of doubtful use.
Wait a minute.
Geary stopped scrolling and paged back to find whatever had caught his attention.
There it is. The security vault at the headquarters facility had been breached at some point long after the departure of the Syndic World's authorities. This assessment was reached after examining damage done to the vault by its physical breaching via the use of power tools. Analysis of the stress fracturing of the metal cut through indicates it was at ambient environmental temperature when the power tools were employed, which could only have been the case after the facility had been mothballed and abandoned for some time. As far as could be determined, the vault was empty when sealed, so the reason for the breach are undetermined. Since attempted intelligence collection by Alliance assets cannot account for the damage, it was most likely caused by criminal elements, though the reasons for trying to access a security vault in an abandoned facility cannot be understood. It is also impossible to know why those breaching the vault made use of drill bits whose diameter matched none of those used within the Syndicate Worlds or the Alliance. We can only assume the non-standard drill bits were employed to prevent their source from being identified.
Geary read through that section of the report several times, trying to figure out what bothered him. The fact that the security vault had been breached long before the Alliance fleet had arrived at Caliban made no sense at all, of course. Someone must have believed something valuable would be in there, but the Syndics were fanatical about following standard procedure, and surely anyone associated with the Syndics would know that standard procedure presumably included removing everything from the security vault before the star system was abandoned. The speculation about using non-standard drill bits to avoid being traced, that was it. The conclusion stood logic on its head. It'd be far easier to trace non-standard drill bits than it would standard bits, since uncounted millions of such standard bits existed in both the Syndicate Worlds and the Alliance. But that left the question begging. Why go to the immense trouble of using non-standard drill bits? Unless those were the only drill bits you had. Because you didn't belong to the Syndicate Worlds, or any worlds known to the Alliance.
Well, that's quite a leap, Geary. He wouldn't have even thought of that if the Marines hadn't raised the possibility that the Syndics were worried about some non-human intelligences. But even the Marines didn't want to stand by that conclusion. They just felt they had to bring it up. Wiped operating systems and non-standard drill bits aren't exactly strong proof that there's alien intelligences wandering around Syndic space. But I do have to wonder. This report about the non-standard drill bits made them fit a predictable scenario even though it didn't really make sense. How many other small things like that have been found away and forgotten because someone came up with an alternate explanation? An explanation that didn't involve making an insertion that alien intelligences might be involved, which would have gotten people laughed at. I've gone through the classified files on Dauntless and found nothing about evidence of non-human intelligences. But even in my time, the overriding assumption was that we were alone out here. And facts tend to be bent until they corroborate overriding assumptions.
Geary didn't really feel like talking to anyone, but couldn't justify turning away what might be important business.
Come in.
Captain Geary, may we speak?
Geary stood up, suddenly uncomfortably aware of how rumpled his uniform was.
Of course, Co-President Rion. I hope it's nothing too serious, like accusing me of being a dictator in training again. Now, is there something I can ask you first?
Certainly.
He waved her to a seat, then took his own again.
Madam Co-President, I assume you'd be willing to share any classified information with me if I asked.
You have access to every classified piece of information on this ship, Captain Geary.
There may be things too sensitive to be in the databases of even a fleet flagship. Information kept within governing channels.
I don't know which information you might be referring to.
Is there anything known to the Alliance that you are aware of regarding any non-human intelligences?
Why are you asking this?
Because something at Caliban led some of my officers to speculate about it.
I'd like to hear what it was. In response to your question, I'm not aware of anything like that. I've certainly never seen anything along those lines. Encountering a non-human intelligence would be a very significant event in human history. They might be able to tell us a great deal. Perhaps help explain things we don't understand. Maybe even explain things about ourselves we don't understand. Such as why we've spent 100 standard years fighting a war. Or even why it started in the first place.
We never learned why the Syndics launched their first attacks?
No. Not the timing, anyway. As I think you can confirm, the first attacks were a total surprise, because there'd been no indications that tensions had risen to such a level.
He brooded on her statement, remembering so clearly the shock he'd felt at Grendel when it became clear that a Syndic attack was underway.
Total surprise, just as she said. I'd assume the reason had become clear by now.
No. Our best assessments provide complex answers, Captain Geary. There's no clarity. There appear to have been many factors.
Appear to have been. Then we still don't know exactly why they did it. Why they attacked when they did. Why they attacked at all.
No, not for certain. Their executive council doesn't share its deliberations with anyone. The answer is surely buried in the secret records of the Syndicate World's leadership.
Then we don't know of any external factors that might have influenced the Syndic's actions.
I don't know what you could be speaking of. External factors? You're not talking about non-human intelligences, are you? Is that why you asked about them? You're not suggesting they were somehow involved or caused the war, are you?
No. No. Of course not. I'm a long way from wanting to openly suggest such a thing. But I'm wondering, if the Syndics did encounter non-human intelligences, how long ago was it? More than 42 years ago, certainly. If what the Syndics did when they shut down Caliban means what it might mean, then the Syndics encounter alien intelligences. When did they find them? What happened? Did it have anything to do with the start of this war? Could it perhaps explain why the Syndics attacked, even though victory seems impossible for either side? But how could it have had anything to do with either of those things?
Outwardly, Geary smiled politely.
Thank you, Madam Co-President. Now, what did you need from me?
I feel I should tell you what the commanders of my ships have told me. Those loyal to Captain Numos are attempting to spread a tale around the fleet that you deliberately kept him and the ships in his formation out of the battle so you could claim all the glory.
Unfortunately, I already know that. I'm sure your ship commanders will soon provide you with the ugly details of my latest conference.
Then you've already confronted the issue?
Confronted it? Yes. Dealt with it. That's another thing. There are some larger issues involved.
You mean the discontent over your changes to the Alliance fleet's manner of fighting?
Just how many spies do you have inside my fleet, Madam Co-President?
Why would I have spies in a friendly fleet, Captain Geary?
I can think of a lot of reasons, many involving keeping track of what the fleet commander is up to. I'm beginning to think you didn't entirely trust Admiral Block either.
Admiral Block was an ambitious man.
And I already know what you think of ambitious men.
I feel the same way about ambitious women, Captain Geary. Are you proud of your victory here at Caliban?
He started to simply say yes, surprised by the sudden question, but then paused as other thoughts overtook him.
In some ways, it was my first fleet action. I think I called the maneuvers pretty well. I did a decent job of predicting the enemy's moves, but it wasn't perfect. I wish I could have done the same without losing a single ship or sailor. But I'm proud of this fleet. They fought well,
Indeed. The results of the battle were gratifying.
Is that how you feel, Madam Co-President? Do you have no regrets about letting me retain control of the ships from your Republic and the Rift Federation?
No. As long as we're being candid. And we are being candid, aren't we? I should tell you something you may learn regardless. My ship commanders are impressed with our victory in the battle, though a majority of them share with many Alliance officers unease regarding the way it was fought. They had a greater skepticism of this Blackjack Geary person than the sailors of the Alliance did. Of course, since to them you were a foreign hero. Now, they are more inclined to believe there is some truth behind the myth.
Ancestors help me. There's no truth behind that myth, as you well know.
On the contrary, as I have told you, Captain Geary, you are that figure of myth.
You know that's not true.
I know you saved this fleet in the Syndic home system. I know you have brought it this far and won an overwhelming victory. And I know no ordinary man could have done that.
My dear Madam Co-President, I never had made it this far if a lot of people hadn't thought I was the Living Star's gift to the Alliance fleet. But you know as well as I, there are plenty of people with growing doubts as to the truth of that.
I have a feeling you'll find a way to cope, Captain Geary.
Thank you for your confidence in me.
She stood up, walking away a few steps before turning to look at him again.
I notice you said confidence and not trust.
Same thing.
No, it's not. I'll share one more confidence with you. I'm not superhuman. I very much want to believe in you. To believe you are the hope we all need. A gift from our ancestors. But I don't dare do so.
That makes two of us who don't dare believe that. If I do, I'll be more dangerous to this fleet than the enemy.
Agreed. You make it hard to doubt you. You have won your victory at Caliban. What are we going to do now, Captain Geary?
Geary walked over to stare at the starscape. For the first time in a long time, he searched through it until he recognized some of the stars in Alliance space. So far to go yet. His grandnephew, Michael Geary, who died on his ship Repulse in the Syndic home system, would never see Alliance space again. Nor would the crew of the Arrogant. But there were a lot of ship's crews left who were still counting on him, believing Black Jack could get them back to their homes, and a grandniece back in Alliance space who could tell him about the family he'd lost to time.
What am I going to do? As I'm sure you've already heard, I'm going to take this fleet to Sutra. Eventually, I'm going to take this fleet home, no matter who or what stands in the way.
We hope you have enjoyed this production of The Lost Fleet, Book 1, Dauntless, by Jack Campbell. Narrated by Marlon Dance Huey. Featuring Gerald Hill as John Geary, Zura Johnson as Tanya Desjani, and Kimberly Cochran as Victoria Rione. With additional performances by Zoleika Wundla, Matthew Pauly, Todd Schofield, Yasmin Twazan, Andrew Kilpa, Jonathan Lee Taylor, Keith Richards, Jameson Hunt, Nathaniel Priestley, Christopher Williams, Ian DePriest, Eric Messner, Christopher Walker, Tim Lunibos, Deepa Samuel, Matthew Bassett, Ken Jackson, Vanessa Thurlow, Emlyn McFarland, Nora Ashradi, Jonathan Church, Karen Novak, Crystal Judkins, Donald Guzzi, and Bradley Foster Smith. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Luke Poling. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Kobe Jameson. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Copyright 2006 by John G. Hemry. published by arrangement with the licensor. All rights reserved. Sound recording copyright 2026 by Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Graphic Audio is an RB Media audio brand. This recording is protected by copyright. Unauthorized copying, sharing, or distribution is prohibited. Thank you. Keep listening to hear samples of Stormlight Archive 5, Wind and Truth, by Brandon Sanderson. Now available in Graphic Audio. Find this title, along with audiobook giveaways, discounts, new releases, recommendations, and more at graphicaudio.net.
Seven and a half years ago, Gavilar Colin was on the verge of immortality. He merely had to find the right words. He walked a circle around the nine honor blades, driven point first into the stone ground. The air stank of burned flesh. He'd attended enough funeral pyres to know that scent intimately, though these bodies hadn't been burned after the fighting, but during it.
They call it Aharyetium.
When he became a herald, would his blade become like these, imbued with power and lore?
The end of the world. Was it a lie, Stormfather?
Many who name it such believed what they said.
And the owners of these? What did the heralds believe?
If they had been entirely truthful, then I would not be seeking a new champion.
I swear to serve Honor and Roshar as its herald, better than these did.
These words are not accepted. You will never find them at random, Gavilar.
He would try nonetheless. In becoming the most powerful man in the world, Gavilar had often accomplished what others thought impossible. He rounded the ring of blades again, alone with them in the shadow of monolithic stones. After dozens of visits to this vision, he could name each and every blade by its associated herald. The Stormfather, however, continued to be reticent to share information. No matter. He would have his prize. He ripped Jezreel's long, curved blade from the stone and swung it, cutting the air.
Noadan met and grew to know the heralds?
Yes.
They are in there, aren't they? The correct words are somewhere in the Way of Kings.
Yes.
Gavilar had the entire book memorized. He'd taught himself to read years ago so he could search for secrets without revealing them to the women in his life. He tossed the herald's blade aside, which made the Stormfather hiss. Gavilar mentally chided himself. This was just a vision, and these fake blades were nothing to him, but he needed the Stormfather to think him pious and worthy, at least for now.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles and genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook, produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.